Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly flavored? How many of y'all need that refreshing? Amen. Refreshing. You know, I believe every believer ought to be drunk. You know? Drunk. Everybody ought to be drunk. And the Bible says be filled with the Spirit and drunk not on the wine, but get drunk in the Spirit. So lift your hands to heaven and ask Him, Lord, I want to get drunk tonight. I want to be saturated. Yes. Hallelujah. People go to bars and try to saturate their problems. And it's worse. They get worse. They spend all their money. They have a hangover, and they usually offend somebody, including themselves. But see, when you're drunk in the Spirit, you get to a place where who cares? Your desire is to please God, not man. Amen? You know, if you're pleasing God, then you're submitting under the governmental authority of God on earth. But if you're not pleasing God, you can't submit to the governmental authority on earth. Does everybody understand that? So go ahead, ask for another drink. We welcome Phyllis and Overflow. Fill us and overflow. Yeah. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Yeah. Dear goodness, I couldn't handle it myself. Neither could my wife then. Praise God. God is good, you know? All the time. You know? All the time. And there are so many things that are happening right now. You know, there's going to be such a shift. There's a shift in the Spirit so intently right now. It's like bolting, rolling over. It's pushing things out of the way. It's pushing things out of the way. It's like plowing up the road. Things are being prepared. You know, before Jesus came, three things had to happen. One thing is they had to be able to communicate with one another. So there had to be an area where there would be more writings and more things of, you know, in other words, there was a lot of writings going on, but there had to be the ability to not only be able to commune with the language. That's why when Rome took over, there became more one language. And the other thing is there had to be transportation built. In other words, roads built. So things had to travel faster. And in this, there had to be more of an area of, even though that Rome was in control, it was allowing same government to be in control so that things stayed the same in every location. And in all of these areas, it was God's perfect timing to come so that things could scatter quicker than ever before. And I believe that right now, and the Lord says, until everyone hears about the kingdom of God on earth, then I'm going to come. That's why we have satellites and radio and communications and TV and roads that are being built and bridges. I mean, we've got more stuff now than we ever have. It's because the end is coming. And it's not the end of the world. It's the end of the age. Because we're going on to better things. This has all just been training for reigning. You know? One day we're going to wake up out of this, and it's going to feel like a one-night sleep. Did you ever have a dream and you thought you lived the whole thing? Oh, my God. Then you woke up and thought, oh, man, I'm glad it was a dream, man. I thought I was there forever. Well, that's what's going to feel like. Going to feel like you just had one night's sleep and you'll be in the presence of God and you'll be at home. You'll be like, whoa, This is where I belong. Man, whoa. I can't believe. Was that a dream, Lord? No, you just came from there. That was intense. See, when you get there, then you can say, I made it! But you can't say that now. Because it'd be prideful. When you get on the other side and you don't have to come back here to work, then you can say, I made it. But you better not say it now. Because none of us made it yet. Amen? Would you turn to Genesis 11? Woohoo! Genesis 11. In verse 1. Let's speak it together. Genesis 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And now this Shinar is like Iraq area. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves. Everyone say, ourselves. A city. And a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord had another plan. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. And they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them, because they were in unity of oneness. And nothing could be withheld from them. The problem was, is everything that they were doing was about promoting self. So he said, come, let us go down there and confuse their language. Because see, they were all agreeing, and he had to stop the continuous of agreement. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. This is where cultures started. So cultures started from a place of rebellion. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Now, this is known as the Tower of Babel. Everybody knows that. Amen? But I want you to know it was the Tower of Self. It was the Tower of what? Self. Because you know what self likes to do? Babel. Man, you can't shut self up. Babble, 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 babble. It is the tower of self because it loves to babble. So they actually built themselves a tower or an idol of self, something self-made. So they could talk about what they did to promotion of self. The Tower of Babel was the tower of self. It was a building of self. By Babel of the mouth of me, myself, and I. Jesus confused the language and stopped all the agreements that would further self. Again, this is where the cultures began, and it began in rebellion. The Tower of Babel was a representation of the Tower of Self. In Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And you know, one of the things that, as they were building us, you know what happened? They felt good. Oh, look at what we're doing. Look at what we're doing. Oh, this feels so good. Look at what we're building of us. It reminds me of a mannequin that you dress up, but it's dead. Oh, it looks wonderful. I hate mannequins. I'm telling you, I can look at people sometimes and they look like a mannequin to me. They're all dressed up, but they're dead. Because there ain't no life in them. You know the mannequins that don't have a head? They just have the body? It's all dressed up and no thought. I've seen some of those people. They have them on TV now. It's called Walk of the Living Dead or something like that. I don't know. Romans chapter 2. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go. You ready? Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. From whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you judge, practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to what? Truth, against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things, and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, not because you got caught? Has everybody got that? That's different. People repent after they get caught because they're sorry. But they're actually sorry they got caught. In verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and impeding heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath and a day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are what? Self-seeking. Tower of self. Those who are self-seeking and do not obey the what? The truth. But obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, and every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality in God. In other words, He doesn't favor one. There's no partiality. What happens is there's an area of what we might call favor, but it's actually trust. See, God releases more things to someone He trusts than someone He doesn't. So we might call that favor, but it's actually trust. Because what we're doing is we're earning the trust of the Lord. But if we are self-seeking, it's because we're not obeying the truth. So if you are self-seeking, you can't be obeying the truth. And that's all you're doing is promoting your tower. Amen? James 3. Oh, to build a tower takes talents and pride. Takes talents and pride to build that tower of self. James chapter 3. And then it feels good. It feels good. But it doesn't last long. It doesn't last long at all. In fact, the end result is torment. Because you can't get that feeling again. It's like when a person goes out and gets high and tries to get back to that same high. Can't do it. Then there's torment. That's how the enemy operates. In James 3:13, Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have what? Bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Lying against the truth is compromising, complacent against the truth. It says something powerful here. It says, this wisdom does not descend from where? Above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. So it takes demonic wisdom to build the tower. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Confusion and every evil thing. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. That means submit, obey, surrender. It is full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see that the self-seeking wisdom is demonic. It's demonic. And it brings confusion. But it leaves torment. And the reason for that is because there is the battle within. And that battle within is who's in control? The self that is the offspring of darkness, the old man, or the new creation? The battle's within over the old man that loves to build the tower, that likes to promote itself, thrives on pride, or the new man that's humble, submissive, constantly beating it off. That's why the Bible tells us that, see, your old man is not dead, it's crucified. And it's our responsibility to keep it crucified. But I'm telling you what, it's easily resurrected. That's when we react instead of respond. See, the old man likes to react. The new man responds. There's a difference. Because the old man reacts to the flesh and to the ways of the old things. It likes to shoot off the mouth. Goes back to the Tower of Babel. The new man submits and trusts. But see, within us, there's that battle and that fight. But I'm telling you, you have the victory. You have the victory as long as you cooperate. If you don't cooperate, your man will take you over again. Because he's not a respecter of person either. Self is acknowledged as an idol, isn't it? Again, it likes to dress itself up. In Isaiah 14. We were at the park Sunday, and we had just got done playing tennis, and a gentleman came up to us, and he pulled out right behind my truck. Gary and I were getting ready to leave, and he got out of the truck, and he came in, hey, how you guys doing this, that? Hey, man, I didn't remember where he was. I couldn't remember his name, and I looked at Gary, and I said, man, why, I don't know. And I'd seen him a couple times. And he said, yeah, man, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I'm. Can you see the peace on me? I don't cuss no more. I'm just, man, God is doing a great work in me. Gary and I looked at each other, cool. And we asked him a question and he couldn't, about a location or something. He says, man, I can't remember. See, he was trying to become a new creation in his own strength. You can't. It's impossible to try to imitate the character of God in your own flesh and in your own strength. You cannot do it. And when you begin to boast on what you do and how you do it and how good you are and you don't do this no more and you don't do that no more, let me tell you what, that's when the foot of the Lord comes out and says, it's a time for a little trip. And we saw it manifest right there in front of us. And this guy cussed more than once. The man that wasn't going to cuss anymore. I don't do all of that anymore. Okay, go ahead and boast some more. Let's see what else is going to manifest. I mean, it was just powerful. Powerful. Let me tell you, you start building that tower again, God will bring it down. He brings it down. Why? Because he loves us. That tower was brought down in Babel because they were headed the wrong way. It was a rescue, not a punishment. We tell that to the guys when we go to jail and minister. You can have a choice. You can either get rescued or get punished. Because the world wants to punish you, but God wants to rescue you. You can accept the rescue or you can accept the punishment. Your choice. It's amazing how many people get out of their bunk and come to the Bible study. Glory to God. Isaiah 14. Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. And we're going to start in verse 9. Isaiah 14, verse 9. Let's speak it together, please. Hell from beneath is excited about you. That's what it says. Hell beneath is excited about you, man. To meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It is raised up from their thrones. All the kings of the nations, they all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Who are they talking about? Lucifer. Your pomp, your pride, your arrogance has brought you down to Sheol or hell. And the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you. Remember, Lucifer was the praise and worship leader. And worms cover you. Verse 12, let's read it together. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. Sounds like he's building a tower. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And I will be like the Most High God. That's exactly what they were doing when they were building the Tower of Babel. Sounds like he's babbling, isn't it? Why? Because he influenced them to do it. He was actually trying to build a statue of himself. He was trying to build an idol, an icon of I. But this is what the Lord said. Yet you shall be brought down to hell in the lowest parts of the pit. That's my answer, he said. So we see again the tower of self. It's called, we call it the I syndrome, and we have a teaching on it. Felt good to promote self. By own mouth, the Tower of Babel. It's the same thing as Lucifer. And James chapter 1. We have a teaching called dismantle of self. Wonderful. James chapter 1. Oh, praise God. Is everybody there? In verse 26, it says, if any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his what? His tongue. I get a lot of people come to me and say, I'm very spiritual. Bummer. You know Jesus? Oh, I'm spiritual. You don't need to be spiritual. You need to know Jesus to get filled with the Spirit. If any among you thinks he's religious, see, those are religious ones that say, I'm spiritual. La, 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 la. I'm spiritual. Never cast out a devil, don't know things, but especially the ones that are in them. I'm spiritual. If any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Why? Because individuals try to convince themselves by what's coming out of their mouth, and it's deceiving their own heart. This religion is useless. It has no power, no authority. It's nothing but religiosity. It's a form of godliness, but denies the power. It has no dominion over self. Can't shut up for nothing. Connected to the Tower of Babel. In verse 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. It says to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself what? Unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. That means come out among them and be separate. Don't speak like them anymore. Amen? No more coarse jesting. No more cussing. Why? Because your tongue doesn't come from the tower. Your tongue comes from the Spirit now. It's different. See, you'll know them by their fruit. One of the things you'll know what's one a person of who they're under control of is what comes out of their mouth. Because your mouth is now the altar. See, we are the temple. This is now the altar. This is where the sacrifices are. It's called the sacrifice of praise. That's why the Bible says continually have praise in your mouth. Why? So you can overcome the babel. So we're to bridle our tongue. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. The tower of self in verse 11. It says what? If anyone what? Speaks, let him what? Speak as the what? Oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability with which God supplies, that in all things God may be what? May be what? Glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. So we're to be speaking the oracles of God. Amen? The things of God. Not gossip, not slander, not mudslinging, not babbling. Why? Because you must keep that tower down. That self tower must stay down. It's to be under your feet. But it can be easily resurrected because the Bible says that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. See, your tongue can resurrect the old man at any time. And it also can keep it crucified. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Second Corinthians chapter 3. Did you ever get into a circumstance to where something occurred, but you really didn't want to say because you knew it would have been in the flesh? And a few words slipped out and it was over with. And he went, oh, God, why did I just do that? Because those couple words, those few words, just released the old man off the cross. It released him from being crucified, and he overtook you. You're thinking, it's that easy? Yes. Come on, everyone here is witness to it. It's happened to everyone in this room. None of us, it's not happened to. It's happened to all of us. Where we've said a couple words and I was like, man, I didn't want to do that. Then you got angry with yourself. Then the devil shows up with a bat and you just beat yourself up. Boom, 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 boom. He says, well, since you did that, here, take this. Then guilt and condemnation comes, you know. Same thing when people backslide and do something, whatever. You know, the voice of the stranger convinces that person to do this. It feels good for a moment because they obeyed. Because it felt good to self. Then the next thing is the enemy beats you up for doing it. Yeah. Oh, why did I do that? Oh. Then there's guilt and condemnation. You know, it's a lot easier if we just don't do it. You know, you need to tie your tongue into a bowl. At least it'd be used for something good. Like a mannequin. You can dress it up. If you can't speak the oracles of God, if you don't have dominion over your tongue, tie it in a bowl. Put it pink, red, I don't care what you're doing. Blue. But at least it'd become... dress it up anyways. Amen? And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 4. It says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the what? Of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit what? Gives life. So it is the ministry of the Spirit, isn't it? It is not the ministry of the soul. It is the ministry of the Spirit. Amen? See, so what happens is God speaks to our spirit. So we need to feed our spirit and convert our soul. I want everybody to get this. We need to feed our spirit and convert the soul. You don't feed the soul, you convert it. Because if you're in soulish ministry, you're going to be led by how you feel in every area. And you won't be trusted. Well, this is just how I feel. Too bad. Well, you just need to die to yourself. Amen? It is the ministry of the Spirit, not the ministry of the soul. And we need to stop feeding our soul, because if you feed the soul, you're going to rebuild the tower. You are to convert the soul. And that soul must be converted into the mind and will and desires of Christ. Then you won't fall in the woe is me syndrome. Feed your spirit, convert your soul. Why? Because it is the ministry of the Spirit. It is not the ministry of the soul. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 22. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. When you start to convert, when your soul is converting, it becomes pure. It begins to get purified. Why? Because the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the desires of Christ, the emotions of Christ are beginning to take over. It's no longer the things of the world. It's the things of the Spirit. Everybody got it? So in this it says, in verse 22 it says, since you have purified your souls by what? Obeying the truth. So are you going to purify yourself by disobeying the truth? No. You're going to contaminate it. You're going to keep it contaminated. Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the what? Through the Spirit, in sincere love with the brethren, love one another fervently with a what? Pure heart. Why? Because perfect love casts out all fear, doesn't it? Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Purify the soul by obeying the truth. God speaks to your spirit. Remember, the devil speaks to your soul. So that's why the soul must be converted. And Jude 14, let's speak this together. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Sounds like the Tower of Babel to me, because it's the tower of self. Verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. In other words, in this, it doesn't mean that they don't have the Spirit, but they're not having the ministry of the Spirit. They're having the ministry of the soul. With swelling words to maintain the Tower of Babel or the idol of self. James 4. James chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let me share something with you. We have a dual personality. Everyone has dual personality. But you have the choice of what personality is going to lead you. Where there's a personality, there's a spirit. Some people have multiple personalities. Many. You never know what they're going to do. But if you're a clean vessel, there's only two. The one personality is a new creation. The other personality is the old one. It's a lot easier taking dominion over one compared to many. Hello. And these wars in the members, these members are associated with memories, associated with spirits that are open doors to personalities. So when an individual can act one way in the morning and afternoon, they can act another way. Another personality takes over. Person can act lustful, can act anger, perverse. These are multiple personalities. Because where there's a personality, there's a spirit. Has everybody got it? This is where he says that we are not to change. You don't change. You stay steadfast. We don't change. If you're allowing the Spirit of God to lead you, those who are led by the Spirit have crucified their flesh or have kept the old man on the cross. And he no longer can control you. He may try to scream from the cross to you. Hey, want to get me off of here? Come on, we can work a deal out. See, he tries to bribe you. Come on, don't you remember? Oh, he loves to bring you to your past. Man, you remember? Come on, don't you remember the good times we used to have? No, don't remember that part. No, don't remember that torment. No, forget that. Let's just talk about the good stuff we used to do. Remember? You remember how you used to feed your flesh? Oh, wasn't that fun? Oh, no, don't remember the torment after. Come on, let me off of here. When you agree with what he says, poof, there goes one arm. Comes right off. And he starts grabbing you. Starts touching you. Starts contaminating you. He starts petting you. Just tries to make you feel good. I mean, you go, oh, yeah, that's good. I remember that. Pooh, there goes the other hand. Oh, yeah. And then he starts really, man, he's just massaging you good now. Yeah, I remember that. There goes the other foot and the other foot. Now there's a monkey on your back and he's choking you. He puts his hands around you so you can't hear what God is saying. He turns conviction into nobody loves me. Oh, man, he twists everything that God says. Now he gets in front of you before God. Hi, you remember me? Oh, no, you can't. No. You. I don't want you worshiping like that. No. I don't want you. No, don't say those words. Don't say those eternal words. No, don't say that. Come on, just think about yourself. Come on, think about yourself. That's all I want you to do is think about yourself. No, don't do that. Who's in Christ is a new creation. Boom, boom. Come on, we can work a deal on. I'm telling you. Okay. That's the old man. Hallelujah. I'm the one, only one who loves you. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Second Peter, chapter 2. Yes. They have great swelling words. They like to puff up the flesh. They like to puff up the soul. It's called flattery also. Many of us have been taken captive to flattery words. People have gotten married by flattery words. People have bought material by flattery words. Or swelling words. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, but these like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed speak evil of things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetousness practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his own iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them freedom or liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome by him, also he is brought into bondage. For if after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in mire. In other words, they build on the old again. Building on the old again. See, all of this is back to the tower of self. Amen? Swelling words. In Romans chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Romans 1:18. If you'll speak it with me, please. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his divine invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, that's where self comes into effect. It loves to serve creation instead of Creator. So it serves self. We become slaves to self. Go to Romans 6. In verse 4, Romans 6, verse 4. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Romans 6, 4, let's speak it together. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That's the new man. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, everyone say old man, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. For if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead. That's why we say it's a good day to die. The reason why we say it's a good day to die, because you must die to yourself. And stop building your own tower. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your what? Mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? Wow. Philippians 2. Slaves of righteousness instead of slaves of sin. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. Let's speak it together. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. That's why we come to Bible studies. That's why we come to service. Because God has set this place so that we can become like-minded and do what he's called this house to do. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the what? Same love, being of one accord and of what? One mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. So it's okay to be like-minded like God. Does everybody understand it? It's okay. He wants us to be like-minded like him. And I want to close. Well, I think I can go. Hallelujah. Let's go at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God willing, we'll close here. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. Is everybody there? Let's speak it, please. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. According to the flesh is an individual that's building the tower of self. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. New. Why? Because the old man's been crucified. You're no longer building the tower of self where you babble. Okay, one more. 1 Corinthians 13. Because it says that the love of Christ compels us. Let's talk about the love of Christ. The love of Christ compels us. See, the love of the world compels us to build the tower of self. The love of Christ compels us to knock it down. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Would you speak it with me, please? This is the God's love. Love suffers long and is what? It's what? Kind. Love does not what? Envy. So if you hold envy, if you're not kind. Love does not what? Parade itself. It's not puffed up. In other words, it doesn't think it's right all the time. Does not behave what? Rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Hello. Thinks no evil. Doesn't think the worst of things. Trusts and thinks the best that God has for them. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. No matter what's going on, I'm going to press through. Love never fails. This is the love of God. Never fails. And perfect, God's perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? The tower of self is known as the Tower of Babel. Babel, 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 Babel. The tongue is the most unruling thing. Tells us who we are or who's in control. Amen. Who's in control? Keep that personality on the cross and get rid of the other ones that are hanging around it. Amen. So you have one to deal with, not multiple. And don't build the Tower of Babel. Keep it down and destroy it. Submit to God, resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil. Deny yourself, deny yourself, deny yourself. Remember, feed your spirit and convert the soul. And a tower will stay down. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed grow and bear fruit for your glory and bring conviction, counsel, correction, and direction to every one of us in this room. Every one of us. That repentance would be granted, submission would be established, and divine order would be perfected. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.